We are joined now by the mayor of Chapel Hill, Pam Heminger. How are you?
Hello. It's a beautiful day outside again.
It really is.
Yeah, and enjoy it because tomorrow we get cold.
Yeah, that's true. Although it's going to be nice this weekend, too. Yeah. It's going to be sunny, but in the 40s. And, I mean, being from Michigan, I will absolutely take,
take that any day.
Okay. Yeah. What even is the average high?
It's normally in the 50s,
Is it normally in the
50s?
Okay.
Yeah,
that sounds about right.
We have kind of mild winters here, except for the occasional ice storm.
The occasional ice storm, yeah. We've only had one so far. I mean, January's almost over, and February's such a short month, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's over by now.
Oh, good. I'll take you up on that.
And Aaron Keck just jinxes the entire Southeast.
I'll take those odds, but we'll
All right. So it's been a busy week for Chapel Hill. Big meeting on Monday with the public library, the internet proposal, Chapel Hill Police Department, possible new headquarters. I know we talked about that last week, moving forward on that. Just still the start of that conversation.
Right. Yeah,
though.
Very excited.
What
about
else?
That. We have a big Maker event this Saturday.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
Yeah, the Maker Convening.
A Maker Convening. We have found that we have a lot of makers in Chapel Hill, which is very exciting. And so if you are at all interested, this is open. We already have, we exceeded expectations. We have 70 people signed up so far. If you would like to be or interested in this at all, you make something, you want to find out about being a maker, please go to our calendar on our town website and register through Eventbrite and get yourself signed up. We are going to have another one since there's been such a huge response, so that we were going to get this all involved. And we're working towards that maker initiative, the innovation, the accelerator. We're all that energy in Chapel Hill. We're going to figure out how to make it work for everyone.
That's really cool. So this movement, it's a national and probably international movement now of makers. This is really, from what I've read about it, seems to be more kind of tech-driven computer design and 3D printers, but it's everybody.
It's
if you're
everything.
A craft artist,
right.
if you're an artisan, anything, woodworking, anything
yeah.
like that. Yeah.
But there's a way to run, to be creative and run a business and work together and have those partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look nationally, too, that's where the job markets are in these maker movements, innovation movements. You're not going to, the job growth's not going to be in the large company sector anymore. It's going to be in these startups, these new energy, these trying these things, exploring. I was laughing because we said the flying cars were premiered in Germany, and they're expecting production by the end of the year. This world's moving fast.
Yeah.
Have to figure out how to regulate all
and
that.
And it's really cool, too, because I know we always talk about, and we had it was Patrick McHugh from the Justice Center on last week, and just in a completely different context. In that case, he was talking about employee-owned businesses and how important those are, and can we shift like baby boomers that have small businesses when they retire and they close down their businesses, can we shift them to an employee-owned model so that the business doesn't just shut down and everyone loses their jobs? But in that context, he was talking about the importance of locally owned businesses and all of the tax revenue stays here and the money stays here and the business cares about their employees more.
Right.
And
they're
there's
involved
so many
the
benefits.
Community, become good community partners, the jobs stay here, which helps transit issues going on.
Yep, there's
a lot of pluses to having those small startups stay here, to have that transfer, to have them engaged in the community, to feel part of the community.
So the fact that it's not going to be the big factories and sort of the big box centers of economic development anymore, it's going to be these small local outfits. That's really cool, and that's something that a town like Chapel Hill and Carrboro and Orange County that has been
made an active
effort to be in the forefront of that in the first place can now be in the forefront.
We have that creativity right here in our own community. Let's pull them all together and figure out how they help each other and how we help them as a town and a university thrive and move forward.
So there's going to be a Maker Fair coming up September, probably?
Yes, in September, October. Like I said, it'll be on the calendar. Just get yourself registered and you can get information about that. Again, to stay in the loop, go to the town website, sign up for these things. We don't overdo it with the emails. We'll blast you once a week. You can look at the stuff that's going on. You can always just go to the calendar and look at it. It's one of the main functions on the town website.
So and there's speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, you've got a town council retreat coming
up.
We
start tomorrow from 3 to 9, and then again on Saturday from 8 to 2. We're getting out in time so that we can be part of the Chinese New Year parade.
Yes, that's right,
activities
which is
here
at University Place.
Yeah, very, very excited and absolutely thrilled to pull this cultural event together. And it's open to everyone. And I think any time we have an opportunity to explore other cultures and understand and be part of that, it's a wonderful thing for the entire community. And the fund is going towards raising books and and awareness. And I don't know, there's been, I'm just, like I said, I'm absolutely thrilled that this has all come together. A lot of 30 different sponsors, a lot of activities for all ages. Come on out and check it out. Again, that calendar's on the website, and that'll be here all day, starting around 10, I believe.
11, I think.
Okay.
I don't have the sheet with me
come
right
early.
Now. Oh, come on. It's right here. Okay. I think it's 11 to 6, but
perfect.
Let me look it up.
Well, I know the parade's going to be around 5:30, so
yes.
We'll
get all
the lanterns made, and there's already been some lanterns made in the paper. Just wonderful.
Yeah.
So
11 to 6, yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. chlightup.org if you want more information on that, but that's going to be a university place on Saturday. It's going to be really cool. A lot of people are going to be here for that. So what's the retreat? I know, as a former county commissioner, are you excited about the 2-day?
You always
Mark
like
Dorson
it when you
was
get...
here yesterday. It was like they're over and done in a day, and town council goes on.
It actually is a great opportunity to be in a group setting and sit and have conversations versus people speaking at you for 3 minutes and relaying information back. Gives you time to do that long-term planning or to dive deeper into details on something, but to set that vision, to talk about what you think the future should look like, what do you want to see happen, what are your short-term goals, your long-term goals, see where we find that common ground, talk about things that have gone well, things we'd like to see go better, and where are we headed. And we have we actually asked all of our advisory boards to give us their list of priorities to come to us, and so that document came out yesterday. I think it was revised again today, giving us an opportunity to see what our advisory boards are saying we need to be looking at, thinking for as far as different. And you know, we passed the bond monies, and we haven't had that in-depth conversation about which priorities come first. We have a lot of priorities, but everything can't be, you know, the first priority. So we're taking a look at those issues as well. And it really is a good time to interact and ask questions at a level of just trying to take it deeper.
Any particular items on the agenda, or is this just the opportunity to sit down and just sort of generate the list of top priorities?
Yes. So it's that. And last year we spent some time trying to figure out how we communicate, because there were four of us were new, and mixing in with existing paths and philosophies and how that's worked. We're a lot more cohesive this year going in, so now we can focus on those priorities and set those goals. So.
Speaking again with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and I know the town council's retreat is about setting priorities. County commissioners are talking about external forces and how they're shaping the town.
We have that as well.
We've got that as well. I know.
So the General Assembly started today, and they already have. I have a list from the Metro Mayors of crossover bills that have already started down that pipe.
Right.
There's going to be an immigration forum, I believe it's next week.
There's going to be several.
And talking about what that looks like. We've already gotten messages from the federal government about sanctuary cities, of which we're not, but we do welcome everyone, but we're not officially a sanctuary city.
Yeah, so how does that impact Chapel Hill? I know...
We are always going to be a welcoming community.
Yes.
Okay?
We are
going to do the work and do and be the open, inclusive community we've always been. We will stand together on that. Communities get to choose how they enforce things and how they create things. If you are applying for federal monies, that can come into play. But we don't have a policy that's anti or for. We just have a community value that says, yes, we're open to everyone.
Okay. So... continue.
We will be
on
Chapel
the same
Hill.
Course.
We
all
will
right.
be Chapel Hill.
it's an interesting, it's an interesting tightrope. So, are you at all concerned? I mean, that's not a secret at all. So, are you concerned, or town staff concerned, that since that's not a secret, and we're not officially a sanctuary city, but we're going to be an open and welcoming community, if then we start applying for federal grant money, is there a concern that it might get turned down?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I will say I have concerns about the future and where our country is headed on those things. As far as I know, we're not applying for grants that require you to not have a policy or to have a policy. So we don't have that written policy. We just, like I said, we have the community value. I'm not concerned about that. We are concerned about other cutbacks and things. Mm-hmm. I saw on the list of cutbacks were cuts to the community block grants.
Community development block grants,
There's cutbacks. I mean, these are proposed, not there. So we're keeping our eye on that. In fact, we have to spend a lot of energy watching about what's being proposed, because it does affect, those funds do affect how we do our business in the town. They don't change our priorities, but they can affect how and when. They can affect the timeline. So.
Say more about community development block grants, because I know you were particularly concerned about that. That's on the Heritage Foundation's list of priorities for this year, and they've got the ear of a lot of people in Congress. So what is the impact of CDBGs in
So we use those monies in a variety of ways. We use them for home repair. We use them for public housing. We use them to help support initiatives that help better develop the community, the Rogers Road community. We use those funds. We have made our priorities. We are in good financial health at this moment as a community. I hope that continues. We would still, like I say, we hold our values, we make our commitments. Those funds help reach those commitments, but I feel confident that the council would make the decisions on how to keep doing the things we believe in doing, whether we get those funds or not, but it sure makes it a lot easier
how
to do
much those money things. Is it?
It varies from year. It has been cutting back over the years. I don't have an exact figure for you, but it's in the hundreds of thousands dollar range. It has gone less than that before, and it used to be way more than that. The county gets a bigger percentage of that, but they help spread it out amongst as many groups as possible to do the most benefit as possible.
Of all the things that have happened in the last 6 days, we're getting there. We're only a hundredth of the way through, right? So, of all the things that have happened in the last week that have come down from Washington, what is it that you look at and say, oh, that's really going to impact Chapel Hill?
The immigration part worries me, mm-hmm. about how we treat people, mm-hmm. and what that does to our economy. In addition to, I mean, I'm trying to think the way they're thinking of, are they thinking these things through? Education really concerns me. Our food for the summer program depends on that federal subsidy to feed our kids. There's a lot of connections that go back and forth between what the federal government does, what our state governments, and then what the local governments can do. And most of our funding in our community is through property tax and sales tax. Mm-hmm. So, and like I said, our value system's not going to change. We're going to continue to do the things we believe strongly in. I worry about anxiety levels. I worry about these types of processes they put in place aren't representative of everyone, aren't just to everyone. If we get I'm hopeful the Supreme Court, whoever the person is, will be a true Supreme Court justice for the entire country and really look at the law, not the individual. That makes any sense. The anxiety is what I mostly worry about. People are feeling like they're going to be disenfranchised. I worry about this administration not understanding the true consequences of what they do. Environmental things, wow. Just really wow. Do you understand that if you do these things, it has a long-term effect in a really negative direction? And so I don't know that this new administration knows enough of that, and that's what scares me.
All right, well, plenty of chances to speak out though.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, like I said,
and we're already doing it.
Yep. Stand up and speak up.
Show up, stand up, speak up.
Yes.
Vote when called on. Very important.
And march.
You know what? Yeah,
that was an absolutely
3 million people all over the country.
That's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous.
Like 1 in 100 people in the entire country were at those marches.
That's unbelievable. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It really is, and it's heartwarming. You know, as sad as I got and other people got that our country felt this need to go in a different direction that, in my mind, doesn't represent everyone, that was inspiring that there are enough people that feel like the most of us that feel here do, that we need to be more inclusive. We need to be thinking about how that looks to everyone, not just certain groups of people.
And I think it's also important to continue to, you know, get off the couch and get out there and work, because nobody wins forever, nobody loses forever.
Right.
Like, nothing is the end forever. And I mean, we're looking at this public policy polling survey that literally just came out today.
And
we're
going to
be talking with
you?
Tom Jensen next hour. Where is it? 48-40, I think. The generic legislative ballot, 48% of Americans are going to vote for Democrats in 2 years versus 40% who are going to vote for Republicans. That's a huge shift just in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So,
well, maybe that's getting our younger people to stand up who tend to be more liberal, tend to be more inclusive. And like I say, younger people see diversity as exciting instead of scary. I'm hopeful for the future. I really am. We will get through this, whatever this yields, and we will build a better future. I'm convinced of that.
And exactly the same situation that I think Republicans faced in 2008. You know, you had this huge sweeping election. People were feeling despair. You had pundits writing articles and going on cable news and saying, well, that's the end of the Republican Party. But that energized people.
It
they
did.
Got out. They hit the streets. They formed a movement. And they won in 2010. It was 2 years, and all of a sudden they're making huge gains. Exactly the same thing can happen this time around. Yeah.
Again, I always strive for that word balance.
Yep.
I'm looking. I hate the huge swings either way.
Yeah.
I'm looking for that balance. How do we find that common ground where we all can work together and make a better country, community, place for everyone and be successful. I mean, we have seen some economic upturn, even in North Carolina with HB2, with the things that didn't come here and happen, we are still considered really viable. And I think it's because of this startup energy that we've got going and this creativity here. We have amazing possibilities in our communities here.
And that's going to continue no matter what.
Yes, it really is.
Maker convening on Saturday.
Come be a maker.
Come be a maker.
We want to see what you can make.
There you go.
We want to help you be successful, whatever you make.
There we go. All right. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Hemminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.